services, and organizations that benefit you as a citizen of Forsyth County. Welcome to Empowering You, your host.
Good afternoon. It's time for Empowering You. I'm your host, Shawan Gabriel. Empowering You is 90.5 WSNC FM's public affairs program dedicated to highlighting community initiatives, impactful events, and the work of nonprofit organizations. Businesses, corporations, and governmental agencies are welcome too. We want to highlight all of your work throughout the greater Triad area. Be informed, be inspired, be empowered. And I have the pleasure of having with me Jackie Alexander, the producing artistic director for the North Carolina Black Repertory Company and executive producer of the International Black Theater Festival, alongside our friend, our partner, Mr. Lafayette Jones, who's the managing partner of SMSI, Healthy Living Solutions, Inc. Jackie, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And welcome back, Mr. Jones. Good to see you.
Always nice to see you.
Well, we're going to start with Jackie. Jackie, I know you do a lot. I know you have a lot of hats. And I always like to introduce our audience to folks to let them give me us a sense of who is Jackie, what's your title, what's your organization, what's his mission. Give us all things that.
I am the producing artistic director of the North Carolina Black Repertory, and as you mentioned, the executive producer of the International Black Theater Festival, Black Theater Holy Ground, and we're keeping Black Theater alive. That's our job.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, your career, it spans across acting, writing, directing, producing. Now, which of these roles that would you say made you feel like you had a true artistic voice? And how has that evolved over the years?
Well, I started as an actor. I actually took an acting class in school. I actually took the class because I thought it would be an easy class. Mm-hmm. And one day I did a monologue from James Baldwin's Blues for Mr. Charlie. And the power I felt on that stage, watching the faces, watching the reaction, is what kind of hooked me in. Mm-hmm. And so I started acting and wanted to take control of my career. And that's how I kind of ventured into writing, directing, and producing, because I wasn't exactly happy with the work that I was being presented with, so I decided to create my own work.
Oh, cool. Now your work, and I won't name all of it, but you've had an intersect with history, culture, social justice. How do you balance that artistic expression with present-day cultural responsibility?
I mean, I always start with being truthful. You want to be truthful in the stories you tell. I also want to honor my past. I mean, I started writing because of the stories I heard growing up with my family, and I wanted to tell those stories. A lot of times, especially when I was growing up, the representation I saw on TV and movies, those were not the Black people I knew. Mm-hmm. And so my mission, what I made my mission become, is to share the African-American experience truthfully from my point of view.
Right. Now, with that, what do you believe, like, emerging playwrights, like, bringing work to theater now? Like, what do you think most playwrights now need to, what do producers need to know today?
New playwrights need someone to be their champion. And, you know, we just had an example. Elgin Wardally was a playwright I met in 2020 during the pandemic. She sent me this brilliant play, Blooming in Dry Season. She had never been produced. We ended up doing a reading of that play. We did another reading of her play, Black Americana for Sale. She had four or five plays that were great. In 2024, she won the Sylvia Sprinkle Hamlin Rolling World Premiere Award. We produced the show here. Then we took it to New York with Woody King Jr.'s New Federal Theater. It just had a six-week critically acclaimed run off Broadway. She's got agents calling her now. She's got people interested in producing her plays. That's the best feeling in the world for a producer, to help introduce a new playwright. And she'll be back at the festival this year, and so will her show.
I'm looking forward to the festival. And if you're just joining us, I'm Shawan Gabriel, your host of Empowering You on 90.5 FM, WSNCRadio.org. And I have Mr. Lafayette Jones with us here. Mr. Jones, can you tell us more about SMSI and the work that you all are embarking upon?
Well, this is our 42nd year in business. And you don't get to do this over and over again for 42 years unless you're doing some things right.
That's right.
Especially if you're a Black-owned or Black-operated organization because you never have enough resources. But a lot of businesses don't, but that's beside the point. We have a basic philosophy and statement. We meet the people where they are. We started as a sampling company. My wife, Sandra Miller Jones, was head of Captain Crunch at about $300 million for the Quaker Oats Company. She had gotten her MBA from the Kellogg School of Business, Northwestern, and she started the business. And along the way, she recruited me to become vice president of marketing sales for Johnson Products. Just a word on the side, my mentor, George E. Johnson, passed away last year. And he was the first black company on the American Stock Exchange. He was at $40 million. In 1979, when I went there as a VP, which is equivalent to about $150 million now, roughly, in terms of same dollars. So we made Ultrasheen, Afrosheen, Wantuvazuri, all of that. And our business is patterned after the people that we know. One of my mentors was John H. Johnson of Ebony. I was vice president there and general manager of the division, including Fashion Fair, Ebony, and Jet. And Mr. Johnson used to always say, if they see us do it, they'll think they can do it. And he was right. So our business is patterned after our mentors, what we learned from them. Mm-hmm. It's GIROT, is that the word? G-R-I-O-T, what is that? It's a storyteller, African storyteller.
Griot,
thank you. So it's the old Griot story. And so what we do is we connect the dots. We help our population to understand where the opportunities are to improve their health. We as African Americans, black folks, we've got everything there is to have. We're pretty low on the health index of good health.
Right.
So what we do is we help people understand. We also work for large companies. We like companies with deep. We're not a nonprofit. We are a for-profit company. We work to do good, and we get paid handsomely to do that. So it's okay. You know, everybody can't be a nonprofit. We don't want to be a nonprofit. We think there's a – so that's our lane. So we work for Procter & Gamble, Unilever, Kraft, ConAgra, Procter & Gamble, General Mills. And we started as a sampling company, giving away free product samples. And then that migrated to us getting, we have about 40,000 beauty salons in 25, 30 markets in the U.S. And we have maybe 20,000 churches.
Oh,
you know, we meet black folks where you live, work, play, shop, study, gamble, and have fun. It ain't all church, you know?
right. I understand
so
that.
So that's our business. And right now, we develop campaigns. Our campaign is built around something called Save a Life.
Save a Life.
The business that Jackie's in, the business that you're in. Everybody's in the Save a Life business. It's got a different name on it. Mm-hmm. Ours campaign is focused on fighting opioid and fentanyl overdoses and deaths. Fentanyl will kill you quick. Mm-hmm. Opioids, you can get overdoses from. So we have a young population being affected by bad drugs in the street. We have seniors, I'm talking about 65 plus, who, and some younger too, that are being addicted to opioid because they cost other things. So that's what we do. We help. Now we're focused on our population of getting Narcan out in the street. We're all about saving lives. You can't play the game or win the battle unless you're alive, right?
Right.
Period.
You're right.
That's what we do.
Jackie, so what's been your relationship with SMSI, and what do you think about their work in the community over the years?
I actually only recently met Mr. and Mrs. Jones. So we're just starting our relationship. But, you know, healthcare is probably one of the most frustrating aspects of life, especially for the underserved. So an organization that works to shepherd people through what can best be described as a maze with no exit,
yes.
You know, or taking care of those who've been ignored and thrown away and ostracized, taking those people in, looking out for their best interests, that's vital work in any community. So I'm excited to learn more and work with them.
I want to add to that. See, what Jackie and his crew are doing is there's a lot of ways to soothe the soul. Music is the wine of the gods. We know that. Theater brings another aspect of it. The reason we like entertainment so much is because it relieves some of the pressure. It's good for behavioral health. You know, when you can dance and sing and get around, okay, and when you can learn like you're teaching on the show and like you do, that's all part of saving your life. See, the hip bone is connected to the ankle bone, meaning that we're just one human being taking information in all kinds of ways. Mm-hmm. And so the reason that you find that our team brings a diversity of guests, and again, the reason I invited Jackie because I know some of the things he's doing. I also invited him because it makes me smile, because in 1986, when I came to this city, my wife said to me, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine, Sylvia Hamlin. They went to school together. And Sylvia and her crazy-looking husband came over with these big glasses on, his hat on backwards, you know. He looked like, what's the people with the starship? You know what I'm talking about. The starship.
Parliament Funkin'.
Parliament. Yeah, George.
He looked like Parliament.
George.
You know? Yeah, he did. But I loved him because mm-hmm. I wanted to be like Prince. But anyway, and so Larry, when I smile, I see four decades. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. And Larry says, you know, I'm going to do a festival, really. Ain't nobody get no festival. Anybody even right. got a piece of paper. And he says, I'm going to bring all the things I know, and we're going to do a festival. And sure enough, he did, and it changed the course of this country and this state in many ways.
Speaking of what Mr. Hamlin accomplished, in 2019, we started shooting a documentary on the history of the festival. I'm not from Winston-Salem, and the entire theater community, black and white, is in debt to what they accomplished. And that movie will have its world premiere at this year's festival. Ooh, so you don't want to miss it. Holy Ground, yeah. The Legacy of the National Black Theater Festival. It's going to run Tuesday, July 28th through Saturday, August 1st at Haynes Brands Theater. And it honors Larry Leon Hamlin for his vision and Sylvia Sprinkle Hamlin for nurturing and sustaining that vision of the National
but
Black
it's gonna
Theater
be
Festival.
Worldwide, is that right?
We're going to make it worldwide, without a doubt. It's one of the biggest things to grow the festival, because there's no way to tell somebody what it's like at the festival. Mm-hmm. So right. A film where you can see it, you're still not going to get the full dose. You got to be here to get the full dose. But at least you will see what's happening and get an idea of how incredible what has been accomplished by that man.
Some of the greatest plays in theater in the history of the world.
Absolutely.
Right here. And when you say Holy Ground, it's no joke. For mm-hmm. real. I mean, I've been to every festival since before it started. Okay. Mm-hmm. And in some way, we were involved in it. So the festival and the theater, one of the things that Jackie has done, he's had more things that, and it was happening a little bit before you got it, but you really developed it, was to bring more of the festival out so it's 360, 365, in terms of not just being a two-week period.
Right.
Look, in marketing, only three elements of a event. That's an event. There's a pre, there's an on-site, and there's a post. Now, a marketer is trying to put an oar in every one of those lakes. The pre is like now, okay? The on-site is 2 weeks from now, or whatever the date is, and the post is ongoing. The post is the most important piece of any execution. Why? Because it can be duplicated and multiplied, layered over and over again over long periods of time. And putting it on the film is the closest we can get to visiting. That's what you've done.
Well, hey, shout out to you, Jackie, for that work. I'm looking forward to seeing Holy Ground. I've also attended several. I hadn't attended them all before since they started, but I've attended several. And part of what we're talking about today is saving a life. And if you're just now joining us, this is Shawan Gabriel with your host for Empowering You on 90.5 FM, WSNC Radio, and I have Jackie Alexander here with me. And we're talking about saving a life in terms of your work and what you do. I can personally say there was a play, and I cannot remember the name of it. I was thinking about it as I was driving here today, but it was a play I saw several years ago at the festival, and it was involving drug use and alcohol use in a family. And and the way they just displayed how support can look for a family. We've talked about that on this show a few weeks ago, but it's so important in terms of how we are able to tackle those battles in life. And for you, you've had so many awards, Pathfinder Awards, you know, all those things. How do you stay grounded in your work while receiving that recognition and understand that how, you know, what you do on stage truly does impact people in ways that you would never know?
Well, first, I'd like to share one of the stories about affecting people. In 2016 and maybe 2017, maybe it's the show you saw, we produced a show called The Sting of White Roses that dealt with breast cancer. And we brought in five physicians to do a talk back with the audience after. Mm. And you may not know the name Starletta Dubois, but you'll recognize the face, longtime actress from TV and movies. She was in the audience. And from that talk back, she had a niece who was struggling with breast cancer at that time, finding treatment, having insurance issues. One of the physicians on that panel was able to talk to her, talk her through what needed to be done. Mm. And we got an email from her a couple of months later saying, that conversation led to her niece getting treatment. So that, wow. That, you know, that's the power of theater. And you're sharing stories. This year, Blooming and Dry Season, again, that show deals with dementia. Mm-hmm. And we partnered with Novant Health. And following the performance on Friday, July 31st, we're going to have a health fair again where you can go in and we're going to have resource tables set up. The show is at 2, so that resource pan, that health fair will probably start around 4:30. There's no charge at the Milton Rhodes Arts Center. And you can go in and talk, and because people don't have the answers. I mean, again, the medical system, healthcare, it's a maze and it can be confusing. It can be overwhelming for people. So it's great to, you know, that's one of the best things that we're in a position where we can connect them with people who can answer those questions. As far as staying grounded, it's easy because I'm in the room every day with people whose talent I'm awed by. So you can't get the big head when you're in a room and you're watching somebody do something you can't do on the regular. Yeah. You know, I'm always in a rehearsal room with an actor where I'm like, ugh, I wish I could do that.
Right.
Or I go see a play, I wish I could do that. So there's so much talent out there. And if you are able to experience it, it keeps you grounded because you're like, okay, you just need to work and stay in your lane and support these people.
That is awesome. Tell me, like, what's the future of the Black Theater Festival or Black Theater in the next decade? What does that look like?
I would hope it includes, encompasses ushering in that next generation. You know, we've got all these brilliant designers, actors, producers, administrators that come out of these white institutions with these MFAs. We need them to come home. But for that to happen, we've got to provide an environment that's desirable. So bringing them in, allowing us to access and take advantage of technology and find new ways of doing things, share resources, because sustainability is the most important thing. And I understand, like, Black theater, you know, it's always been a hustle. We've always struggling. And, you know, Mr. Hamlin did this by himself. You know, he did it by himself. There's an army out there now, and we've got to come together and work together. A lot of the projects we're focusing on at the festival now involve collaboration. That show I just said, you know, we shared cost on the cost of that set, the designers, the costumes, everything. We shared cost. So that cut the cost in half for both productions. The winner of that award in 2019, which we commissioned a show on the life of Dr. Maya Angelou, the first chairperson of the National Black Theater Festival. We partnered with the Ensemble Theater in Houston. We shared costs. We shared on everything, brought down the cost. That show has been picked up by Broadway producers, and Debbie Allen is attached as a director as they prepare for Broadway. That show started in a Black theater. And that's what it's all about. The future classics starting at home. No one can tell our stories like we can. And that's our responsibility.
What that brings to mind is documentation. You know, there's a group in Washington doesn't want us to document our history, wants us to disappear. I won't go into all of that because we those of us who've got a brain in our head, we understand that, okay? Theater helps us to document who we are, our trials, our tribulations, our opportunities. And we are, in many ways, natural entertainers, in many, many ways. And I also smile when you said, Maya Angelou, because I happen to be sitting at the table with Larry Leon, and call him Larry Leon, and Sylvia Sprinkle Hamlin. And when Dr. Angelou was giving him his instructions about, I'm going to bring Oprah, and she came, and I'm going to bring so-and-so, you know, Ruby Dee, and what's her husband's name?
Ozzie Davis.
I mean, I saw them all, and it actually put this city on the map. Now, that's the fun side of it, but there's an economic side to this, too. The economic side of it, it brings maybe $20 million. In real dollars, hotel rooms, limos, food. You know, y'all like to eat, you know?
Right.
All of that. So it changes the economy. It's also made the city fathers, the county fathers, and the state fathers, I'm talking about the government,
right.
Take a look at that and change a lot of the policies that they had. Money talks. You know the rest of the sentence, right?
right.
So the bottom line on that, it's an economic force. Now, is it perfect? No. Do they have challenges? Yes. They got all kinds of marketing challenges. And operations you're running for 35-plus years, you got to renew it. That's why you have younger directors and people with different attitudes. Now they're making movies. Now they got a film. Then they got a book. You know, these things were unheard of. And some of the people like, I think her name is Felicia. Piggott Long.
Felicia Piggott Long.
She's been married several times. Unfortunately, her husband has passed away, so I don't really remember her last name. But she got her PhD as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
And she also has written a book about this. It also, you get to see Black beauty in this. You can't produce a show. The most important thing is the hair. If you can't get that hair and face right, they don't want to be bothered. That's very important. And it's the same thing my friend Leo Rucker, who is a brilliant portrait artist and muralist too, when he first came, we met him, I used to say, Leo, if there's anything you get right, you got to get a hair right. that's what's important. That's what's important to all women, but Black women in particular, crowns. And we've had books come out as a result, the New York Times, the Washington Post, Chicago Tribune, the French papers, the Italian papers, the Cape Town daily publication carry stories. And we watched it go from a small little idea, a little big idea, mm-hmm. and explode. Now we get to take it to the next level.
That is awesome, Jackie. It has been great having you here. Save a Life campaign is so important. And as you said earlier, Mr. Jones, it takes on different shapes for different organizations and different people. But you all and the work you're doing embodies that. And if you would leave us with just some contact information, website, theater dates, times, how we get involved, how do we get connected?
International Black Theater Festival will be July 27th through August 1st. One-stop shopping at ncblackrep.org. Any information you want, ncblackrep.org.
Also, the OGs, my wife doesn't want me to call her OG, but Felicia Richard, they all went to school together.
Awesome.
Different roommates, you know. Mm-hmm. We're old enough to have been to college 60 years ago, and they all went to Howard.
That's awesome.
So she's coming, and my wife's very excited about the fact that she's going to see one of her classmates.
Yeah.
It's always nice to see a really successful.
It's like a reunion.
Oh, yeah. But when they're successful, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Makes it even better.
Well, awesome.
Thank you for what you do. We really do appreciate you stepping up to the plate to do this big job of scheduling and interviewing.
Oh, this is fun. I get to hear great stories that you bring here. I get to hear from great guests and all the awesome work that's happening in our community. Next up, we have Ms. Sandra Miller Jones, the founder and CEO of SMSI Healthy Living Solutions, and Mr. Reginald McCaskill, president and CEO of Maximum Enterprises, Inc., and he's the founder of the Triad Minority and Women's Business Expo. I'm Shawan, your host of Empowering You, 90.5 FM, WSNC Radio. Mr. McCaskill, welcome.
Siobhan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Good, doing well. Good. Tell me, like, what's the official name of your organization and your title, and what's your mission?
So I can first start off by saying, depending on which organization you're speaking of, is Maximum Enterprises, which is a business consulting firm, mm-hmm. and then, of course, the Triad Minority and Women's Business Expo, which falls under the auspices of Total Concepts International, which is our nonprofit arm that works with our nonprofit organizations and initiatives.
Okay, cool. I didn't know that, and mm-hmm. I thought I knew a lot about the expo, but mm-hmm. didn't know you had that other arm. Now Reggie, people in this community know you for many, many different reasons. You spend a lot of time in this community, over 3 decades. Shaping workforce development and youth services across not just this community but across the state. But what inspired you to commit your career to helping the underserved population?
So one of the things I will say, and I always tell people, that if you really want to follow what they're doing, it kind of goes back to childhood. And for me, I've always been a person where people have provided and given me opportunities that I probably did not think that I was going to get. So I believe in just reciprocating, giving back to what I had gained from all of our ancestors that provided me those opportunities. So that's why I give, and that's why I will probably continue to give, because of that is in me.
You mentioned the Business Expo and your work in that arena in workforce development and the years that you spent doing that. How has that influenced how you approach business consulting today?
So one of the things that I shared with someone earlier today, my passion has always been to provide for those who may not have had the same opportunities than others. So the whole thinking of the Triad Minority and Women's Business Expo was really geared towards trying to assist those individuals who may not have the same platforms as others, mm-hmm. as it relates to trying to provide them an outlet that they would not get anywhere else. And the expo has afforded us that opportunity for these companies, what we consider now mom-and-pop companies, mm-hmm. To be introduced to the community and really, with their products and their gifts and their talents and services, being able to present those to the public.
It's really important, you know, for our young people as you and people in general to, mm-hmm. to really get a feel for your journey and folks that they can see that they're really doing good work in our community. Mm-hmm. You're widely known as a servant leader. Like, mm-hmm. how do you define servant leadership, and how is it defined, you know, your journey?
Mm-hmm. So, again, I think a lot of it goes back to childhood for me. I wrote a book, and so I'm an author now, too.
Okay.
and it's entitled Passion Over Position.
Okay.
And that title kind of speaks to it all. So when you think about having passion for what you're doing, you don't care about the position.
Right.
And I always tell people, if you don't have passion when it comes to position, it then becomes poison.
Ooh, we don't want that.
And we definitely don't want
that. We don't want that. You know? We don't want that.
So the giving piece and the passion that I have for providing to the community has just always been my lifeline, because I think about the opportunities and I look at that little boy that came to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 46 years ago as a freshman at Winston-Salem State University to rise and to be where I am today. There are people back at home that would sit back and say, I know that's not the same little boy that used to run around the streets in Jacksonville, Florida, but that is the same little boy who gathered all of the things and the tools that was given to me, and now I give it back to others.
That is awesome. If you're just now joining us, y'all, this is WSNCRadio.org. I'm your host of Empowering You, Siobhan Gabriel, 90.5 FM, and I have with me Ms. Sandra Jones. Ms. Jones, tell us about Save a Life and what it means to you as the founder and CEO.
You know, Shawan, that we're executing a Save a Life campaign right now. Mm-hmm. And our campaign is focused this time on getting people some understanding about the opioid crisis. I was talking with Reggie earlier, and he was saying that he didn't realize that crisis was really significant in our community. Mm-hmm. But it is very significant. As a matter of fact, in the general market, the crisis is kind of abating, but among our community members, the crisis is really is heightening every day. And one of the things that we're trying to do is to have people understand that they need to know what's happening with opioids in their community, especially fentanyl, because there's some fentanyl medications now, they're called ultra opioids, and one pill can kill. So we're trying to get that message out and trying to also get the messages out that will assist people to know where they can go to get help. And so we're so grateful to Reggie and to you in your efforts to help and get that message to folks.
You and Lafayette, I mentioned to him earlier, you all bring really good guests to the show. And what I mean by that is when we think about Save a Life and the opioid crisis and those things, it takes on a different shape for different people, right? So Save a Life is in all forms. People are doing the work that, Reggie, that you're talking about and that you've been about over the last 30, 40 years in this community is about saving lives. It really, we don't name it all the time. But that's what it's about. And at the expo, I understand that there's a health connection, and how will that work?
Right. So what we do, we have quite a few connections at the expo. And that particular entity gives us an opportunity to kind of like give them space in the place, if I can say that. Mm-hmm. So that's just one of the entities. So some of the health care providers around Winston-Salem mm-hmm. are heavily involved in that. And I will throw in the fact that we have a kids entrepreneur piece in there, too. Absolutely. So there are quite a few different segments in the expo that gives us an opportunity to highlight them there in that space.
That is awesome. Again, back to you, Ms. Jones. When it comes to how folks can support this campaign, how do we get involved?
And that's easy. If you can just tell a neighbor that there is still a crisis in our community and tell them where they can go to get some help, the Forsyth County Department of Health has many, many free resources to help people who have an issue. And there are so many folk who don't know that they have an issue in their own home, mm-hmm. in their own church, and in their own workplace. So you have to kind of stay aware, keep your eyes open, and keep your heart open, and give people an opportunity to talk with you and look for the signs of people who are not acting the way they used to act.
Right.
And be willing to reach out and help someone.
And as we talked about on this show, it's so critical. We all know family members or friends who are battling in isolation at times. Save a Life campaigns brings it highlights the ability to be there to support. So it's really critical to the work. The community health and safety are critical issues that we're all facing. So I salute you and the work that you're doing to help address this, because it's going to take all of us to help, really put a name and face to the work that's going to eradicate that, hopefully, in
Absolutely.
Our lifetime.
Absolutely. Thank you.
If you're just now joining us, I'm Shawan, your host for Empowering You, WSNCRadio.org, 90.5 FM, and I have Mr. Reggie McCaskill here with me. Reggie, collaboration is a major theme in your work, and what do you think, how do you see partnerships play into economic advance and economic inclusion in our area?
Well, it's a great, 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 great question. If you notice, our theme and motto for the expo is create, connect, and cultivate, the three C's. Mm-hmm. You want to create opportunities, connect people with people, and cultivate relationships. If individuals would take those three C's, I think they would find an S in success.
I like that. Say that again. Okay. I like that.
If you take those three C's mm-hmm. and connect it to an S, it will end up success.
That is it. That's a Reggie McCaskillism right there, y'all. You know, we know that minority as a minority owned business myself and women owned business, they often face unique challenges. What do you feel like the most unique challenges that are being faced for those entities today?
Well, there are a number of them, but one of the things that I really think about as I think about the expo itself, right, is really giving them an opportunity to showcase. A lot of them may not have brick and mortar facilities, and Facebook can't do it all,
right?
Social media can't do it all. But we want to make sure that we give them an opportunity to highlight their businesses in this platform. I was talking to Ms. Jones earlier, and I looked at it and I smiled and said, you came to the first expo. And that was 13 years ago down at the Enterprise Center. And I think at that time we had about 25 businesses in there.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So we have yet grown to, for the last 5 years, had over 100 minority and women-owned businesses and nonprofit organizations. And speaking of nonprofits, a lot of times people don't think nonprofits are businesses, but they are too.
They absolutely are.
So that's an opportunity for them to showcase, to get out there so that people can know about the work that they're doing as well.
I'll tell you something that's crucial for me. And I think I'm going to make the assumption that for you also in your work with young folks, mm-hmm. people want to be successful. Mm-hmm. Back to your S, right? And people want to run a business. They want to be a part of advancing their families, all of those things. Tell me, what advice would you give to the next generation of community leaders, business leaders that are coming through your expos? You mentioned the young entrepreneurs. What advice do you give to them? Like, let's so that they can actually have something tangible to say, hey, look, these are the qualities that we're looking for in our next generation of leaders.
Well, one of the things that I really strive is just being true mm-hmm. and honest and open to individuals who've walked the path that you're trotting now. Make sure that you have a mentor, somebody that you can listen to who has done what you're attempting to do. And the most important part about it is to listen. You listen and then you learn and then you implement. Because nothing is new.
Right.
Think about it. Yeah. Nothing is new. That pound cake may be a pound cake, mm-hmm. but somebody has baked that pound cake before. You follow me?
Right.
So regardless of what you may come up with, it might just be named something, mm-hmm. but the taste is still the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if I can just chime in here,
please.
Because this is my 42nd year in business. So one of the mm-hmm. things that I know you have to be is flexible.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Reggie and I were talking about earlier. You've got to be creative and you've got to know that if you don't meet your objectives, you have to keep in mind they are your objectives so you can always change them.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get discouraged if it doesn't go the way you think it should go that first time.
Mm-hmm.
Change and do something else.
You know, in addition to that, Ms. Jones, you've helped a lot of businesses strengthen their operations, their marketing, right, with some of the work that you all have done. What advice would you give to continue down that road? I understand listen, but what else would you tell or want them to know?
Don't be discouraged.
Mm-hmm. Don't be discouraged.
Yes, because there's so many ways that, so many obstacles that you're likely to face
mm-hmm.
that will make you feel as though you're failing. But you can never fail as long as you are in charge of your goals, because you can always change them and be who you want to be.
That is awesome.
And it's something that she said that I think is so important, and that is the willingness to change your narrative, change your goals, change your objectives, because you know what made all of us change?
What's that?
COVID.
Oh, yeah.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It made all of us change in the way that we do stuff. I probably see more UPS and FedEx trucks coming to my house and Amazon than I ever want to see.
Yes.
And DoorDash, mm-hmm. all of those things. Right. Think about it. You know, we would get up and go to the store.
Right.
Now we have the luxury of just sitting in our homes. Mm-hmm. So somebody thought of that.
Yes.
And now it's very successful.
Yes. And you know, and don't get in love. Don't fall in love with your idea only, because right. you need to be falling in love with where you want to be, what mm-hmm. your goal is, rather than what kind of product you have. Because that you might turn out not to be the right one.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Reggie, I would have you here in the studio, and I'd be missed if I didn't ask the question about faith and your faith, and people know you from that part of your life as well, and your civic engagement. We know that they're central to your life. Mm-hmm. How has that affected your leadership style and decision making?
I think it has basically allowed me to empower others because in my book, it tells a story about who Reginald McCaskill really is. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the things that I had to encounter as a young man, I don't think a lot of people would have imagined. The story where it say you see my you see the glory, but you don't know my story.
Absolutely,
that is something that has really, really pushed me to where I am. That faith, believing, even currently, and within the last couple of years, some of the health challenges mm-hmm. that I've been faced with. Right. I told people I never imagined that a pacemaker would be on my resume. Mm. I just never imagined that. Mm-hmm. I never imagined having two new hips. Mm. So after a while, they're going to be calling me Reginald Bionic McCaskill.
Who's still pressing along.
Yeah, and just not giving up.
Right.
So that faith is what kept me.
Yes.
And that faith is what keeps me. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to leave that alone now before I take a text.
Uh-oh. And listen, we spoke earlier, and you just gave me a rundown of your day that you've already had today and still have. So the hip and the pacemaker, they're working well, it seems, because you haven't stopped a bit.
It won't stop, no.
Ms. Jones, again, it was a pleasure always having you here and the guests that you bring. Save a Life campaign is really important to this community. And again, I want to give you your flowers and shout out to you for your work, for bringing this to the forefront. And Reggie, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And Shawan, you're doing better and better every week. I think it's wonderful.
Thank you. We're going to take a quick break and come back with another guest on Empowering You, 90.5 WSNC FM. All right, welcome back to Empowering You. I'm your host, Shawan Gabriel. I have with me Portia Jones, founder and CEO of Team Bond, entrepreneur, leader within Novine Health. Portia, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Shawan. I appreciate you having me.
Portia, you've been in this community a long time, and you were born here, you were raised here, you worked here, you lived here, you went to school here, played ball here. You're all things Winston. And people still need to get to know who Portia is. So beyond your professional titles, tell us, who is Portia Jones?
Yeah, so that's a great lead-in point. I think being born and raised here has come with its perks. But for those who don't know, I'm a lover of the community, lover of my family, a strong person of faith. I love to travel. I love to go to the spa. Every Friday, I have my own personal massage therapist come to my house. Oh. So that speaks to how much I love being pampered and taken care of. So I just love to have a good time, enjoy some of the smaller things that most people would take for granted. So a little bit about me.
You've done a lot, like I said, but tell me, who are some of the people that may have influenced the woman that you've become?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would have to go back to my upbringing from my paternal grandparents. So I was raised by my grandmother and grandfather. And they pretty much exposed me to what I would consider black excellence in the community. From a faith perspective, from a community perspective, my grandfather was a 33rd degree Mason. So those of you kind of understand the level and the hierarchy from that standpoint. Grandmother was very much involved as a Delta, Eastern Star, all those different things, National Women of Achievement. And so those are some of the things that I grew up seeing, where most people spent time at sleepovers and, you know, family friends type of situation. I was at, like, board meetings and, you know, spending a lot of time with, like, just older people. So just being exposed to, like, having a certain structure in life and creating a certain level of legacy and just thinking beyond myself is just what I was raised upon.
That's good stuff, man. I was raised by my grandparents as well, and I know that, you know, we share in that we've lived a life of service. Like, is there a defining moment you would say that you were like, you know what, I wanna be able to give back to my community?
Yeah. I think my experience of going to Wake Forest was a eye opener. It's something I have talked about in the past, coming from like Carver High School. So growing up in that quote unquote East Winston environment, we went to the same food line. It's the only food line I know in East Winston. And so from going from Carver High School into almost the ideal of crossing 52, going to Wake Forest, from a culture standpoint, it was different. And I think mentally, academically, I think emotionally, I just wasn't prepared. Right. When I graduated from college, I wanted to ensure that young girls had a better experience being a student athlete than I did. Great coaches, always have to kind of put a nugget in for, like, Alfred Poe was a great mentor for me when I was at high school. But to go from that tight-knit family atmosphere at Carver High School to Wake Forest, where it was more of a job, right. It was a new experience. And so an eye-opener moment for me was just thinking that I was, like, one of the better players in the city, in a region, in a state, and then getting to Wake Forest and realizing I needed to change a lot of my patterns and behaviors as far as how I prepared to be successful. And so what I wanted to do is create BOND, which is an acronym for Building on New Development. That's exactly what I felt I had to do at Wake Forest, is I had to continue to build and develop. And so I wanted young girls to have that same experience. So that would be my eye-opener moment.
That is super cool. If you're just now joining us, I'm Shawan, your host of Empowering You. And I have Portia Jones here with me. And you just mentioned, Portia, Team Bond. Team Bond is an awesome organization. But tell me, like, what's the mission of Team Bond? And what motivated you? Again, you talked about being able to give them a different experience for those girls. That's how it started. But now I know that, you know, they're boys that have been involved. But what's the mission of Team Bond overall?
Yeah, so Team Bond is just a youth sport nonprofit group. So it can be a little bit confusing because we have Team Bond as our nonprofit leg, and then we have Bond Events, which is our for-profit leg. So as it relates to Team Bond, that is just a platform I wanted to create using basketball as a way to engage families. Basketball was something that completely changed my life. I had no idea that I could compete for a scholarship, 5'2", 125 pounds, soaking wet, coming out of high school. And so that round ball completely changed my life. To be able to graduate from school debt-free, to have a Wake Forest education, put me at a position where, you know, I was kind of leaps and bounds above some of my peers. And so Team Bond is just creating a legacy where youth have the opportunity to compete, to be consistent, to have discipline, to understand how to goal set, and to be productive citizens in the community. So there's academic standards that we have to abide by. There is behavior standards that we abide by. And so we align those things through the sport of basketball to help create an overall individual.
You know, Portia's very humble, and she's talking about being a student athlete and going to Wake Forest, but she also won a state championship while at Carver High School. I remember, I'm older than Portia, but I remember hearing her name and seeing her play. Reminded me a lot of the great Dawn Staley, if you all remember her. Shout out to South Carolina and
for
Dawn
sure.
Staley. But yeah, Portia's humble, but I just wanted to make sure we lifted that up.
Absolutely.
Portia, one of the things that you, in addition to Team Bond, you've taken on a role and title of entrepreneur mm-hmm. in many different ways. Do you see entrepreneurship as a pathway for young folks to build generational wealth?
Absolutely. It's a conversation that I have with my nephew, my youngest nephew, Tyler, who has just graduated from high school. Mm-hmm. And so entrepreneurship is something that takes a lot of discipline, takes a lot of focus. It takes a lot of commitment. And I think if you have something that you're passionate about, if you have a purpose that you want to kind of attain, entrepreneurship forces you to look yourself in the mirror. Mm-hmm. It forces you to make the hard decisions that you may not want to make. It forces you to create that budget that you're trying to avoid. And so I would encourage anybody, you know, if you have the opportunity to pursue entrepreneurship to whatever level, from a grassroots standpoint, a small business standpoint, to incorporate, to partner, to collaborate. I think all of those will help you grow kind of hard and soft skills as you navigate through life.
What specifically has entrepreneurship taught you or helped you to build Team Bond even better?
Yeah, so, you know, 100% I think for people to see me as a young black woman, I think that's encouraging to other people who may look like me. I think the ability to make my own decisions, mm-hmm. to know that if an opportunity aligns with my mission, vision, values as a person, then it will align with me from a business standpoint. And I think having that freedom, and it gives me the opportunity to grow and expand what I want to build as far as legacy. Love my opportunities at Novant. I've been in Novant for almost 15 years now. Was really, really trying to avoid growth opportunities and leadership opportunities at Novant, but I essentially get paid to do what I would do for free, and that's kind of enhancing and building my community. And so being able to continue to grow from an entrepreneur standpoint, I think I bring some of those hard skills into my role at Novant. And so I think it has a dual opportunity for growth. And so I would encourage anybody, if you can find a set kind of income, you know, and I can probably get into this, the four quadrants of building wealth from rich dad, poor dad. Right. But I learned about that when I was maybe a sophomore in college, and it was a gimmick type of class. We needed to just pass it. But it really was something that I kind of created my model of how do I build a level of wealth and take what my grandparents instilled into me mm-hmm. and take it to another level. And I think the wealth part is what we typically would miss in the black community. We right. have a lot of love, we have a lot of care on the surface, but when we're thinking about financial wealth and building something, that's something that I think we need some more time doing.
When you talk about wealth and you talk about community, you talk about business, what role do you think businesses play in giving back to communities they serve?
Yeah, so I think businesses have a large mantle to carry from that standpoint, because the communities create the businesses, they staff the businesses, and they keep them going. And so I think it's very important for those businesses to give back. In Winston, I think over the years, I've seen a lot of businesses kind of give back and make sure that the areas like East Winston have the additional resources, have the additional needs met. I think it's something that we can improve on today. But I think the foundation of what Winston-Salem was, especially for the black community, is it was a collective effort from our businesses, our nonprofits, our churches, the YMCAs, the Parks and Rec Centers. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody was almost like a collective effort to ensure that the community had what they needed.
If you're just not joining us, we're getting to know Portia Jones. This is Shawan, your host of Empowering You, WSNCRadio.org. And we're talking about entrepreneurship. We're talking about business. We're talking about giving back. And speaking of giving back, you have a back-to-school event that you've been doing annually. Let's tell me a little more about that.
Sure. So in 2024, I came up with this idea of Bond Love Day. And, you know, love is a word that I think, without being cliche, it's a word that people use often. But the actions and the patterns and the behavior behind that word is something that's always missing. And so I do a lot for different nonprofits, different, you know, sponsorship opportunities, scholarships. But I wanted to do something that would be impactful for the community, where kids could start their first day of school with a level of confidence, in the hope that the way they start is the how they would finish. And so I connected with you at that time. I think you were the CEO of Big Brother Big Sister, of course. Right. And so we hosted our first Bond Love Day in partnership with Big Brother Big Sister. The goal was to have 100 students walk away with a pair of shoes, a first day of school outfit, book bag, and school supplies. Mm-hmm. And I think you can remember we had long lines waiting outside. It just kind of blew up before I could realize what exactly I had built. Right. And so I kind of move in silence to a certain extent, mm-hmm. have a really, really small circle. But I think making the right connections, working with Big Brother, Big Sister, aligning with the right nonprofits and groups that have the same mentality, now partner with St. Peter's World Outreach Center. Mm-hmm. We have 755 students registered wow. for our event on August 1st. So if you think about it, 2024, we probably served 300 plus. Mm-hmm. We probably were not prepared. Right. And then the following year, we hosted at Winston Lake YMCA, which is now the Reed Center. Great partnership with the YMCA, and we served about 600 students. And so each year, we're growing enormously. But I think there's a ton of back-to-school events, and I think all of them are needed. But kind of how God has kind of placed certain things in my life, like once I put my mind to something, I feel like there's a certain kind of favor that is connected to me. And right. so I'm not surprised by the growth. You know, I think it speaks to more of the need of the community, and it tells me a lot of where families are. So excited to be, you know, able to give back. I have a couple small businesses, and so, you know, I'm blessed to be able to be in a position that I am to give and to not just give with a notebook, a pen, and book right. bag. All those things are great. But I know how I felt as a kid getting ready for the first day of school, and I can put out my first day of school outfit with my new shoes mm-hmm. and that confidence of me walking through the halls, feeling like I was fresh. So,
yeah, that's important. Like you said, that confidence, being able to at least put your best foot forward, no pun intended there. But, you know, you mentioned partners and you mentioned ways. I'm interested in hearing ways folks can get involved. If someone wants to support this event, volunteer for this event, how can they?
Yeah, so tons of opportunities. So the Big Brother, Big Sister portion, that leg, there's a new interim CEO, Cheryl Moore, is done a great job, kind of stepped in to manage the vendor process and the volunteers. And so you can reach directly to the office of Big Brother, Big Sister to connect with her for volunteer opportunities. There are links, but I don't know how to share the links through this radio broadcast.
We can put it up on our podcast website, WSNCradio.org.
Perfect. So I'll make sure I share those with you. But if you want to donate school supplies, notebooks, pen, pencils, markers, crayons, all of that can be dropped off at either St. Peter's World Outreach Center or the office for Big Brother, Big Sister. As it relates to the actual back-to-school portion of the clothes and the shoes, you can contact me directly. We have a couple donations just came through monetarily, and that has been great. You can only imagine having to figure out 755 shoes in a 2.5 week period. So if you want to donate from a monetary standpoint, we have that opportunity as well. You can text me at 336-575-8144, or you can DM me on social media at Portia N. Jones. That's PORSCHENJONES on Instagram, and then on Facebook, Portia Jones. So a lot of people have been reaching out. Wanted to kind of do it my way. Of course, there's a lot of corporate sponsorships that I right. could go after that may be an opportunity for next year. But I want to make sure that the kids have what I would want to wear, right? Going absolutely. Back to school. So if you want to donate, if you want to give, if you want to volunteer, please reach out. Please let us know. And the links will be on the website.
This is an awesome event. You all, I'm telling you, it's a great, I mean, you think about the goal when we originally talked about it, it was 100 3 years ago, and we're up to, what, 755? Portia, that is a huge, huge shout out to your leadership and what you've done. Again, there are many, many other back-to-school events, and they're important, as, mm-hmm. as you said. This event is very special, and I, again, hats off to you for your work in that. If you're just now joining us, this is Empowering You. I'm Shawan, your host of Empowering You, WSNCRadio.org, 90.5 FM, and I have Portia Jones here with me, and we've talked about entrepreneurship, we've talked about giving back to our community, supporting our community. And Portia, I'd like to leave with, you know, when you think about your legacy and how do you want people to remember Portia Jones?
Yeah, 100% a person that is a giver first, a person who is courageous, a person who is consistent, who is ambitious, who loves her community, who is able to kind of step up and fill gaps as needed, whether it's with family, friends, or the community. So a person that's just selfless. You know, I think one of the pros and cons of being a selfless person is you don't know how to balance being selfish at times.
Right.
And so as I want people to think of me in a positive light, I also, you know, have to think of myself in a light of how do I keep that balance. And so when I think about entrepreneurship, when I think about Novant, when I think about just giving myself the way that I have at a very young age, I'm about 20 years in, mm-hmm. With Bond and, you know, creating opportunities for the community. There's a lot of life that I want to live, right? And
right.
So being able to have that balance and just being consistent. So, you know, I would hope that people will see those attributes and see that I lead with love and that I'm consistent in what I want to do in creating a legacy.
I want to share with y'all, she's used the term love several times today, and she actually has on a T-shirt that says love. And one of the things you pointed out, Portia, is that love, we use that word, but actions are what really show and prove love. And you're doing that. Again, super shout out to you for your work in the community, what you've done for supporting the community in many, many different ways, not just this Bond event. But, you know, we didn't even get into, like, the stories from Team Bond, the girls mm-hmm, that, you mm-hmm. know, one of the things that always stood out to me was that first team, I think it was, I think every kid on the team got a scholarship. That's crazy.
Yeah. Like everybody got a full scholarship.
That's, again, you know, it takes a lot to mm-hmm. get there, and we don't need to underscore what that is. I really appreciate you joining us. Any last words?
I would say August 1st, would love to see the community out. Even though we've closed registration for the clothing part, we should have an overflow of supplies. We'll have our Novant mobile cruiser there doing health assessments and childhood vaccines. We'll have Katina Little will be there doing sports physicals. We'll have some breakout sessions to help educate parents on IEPs, funding for like private and charter schools, just how to advocate for yourself as a parent with all of the different changes coming down from this current administration. There's a lot of positives. And so whether you just want to come to just feel the love, have a family, you know, friend day, I would love to see you August 1st from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at St. Peter's World Outreach Center. And then for those who have supported me throughout the years, you know, you may not see me as much. I've kind of migrated a little bit to High Point, but, you know, Winston is my heart. It's what has created the person I am, and so I'm so very thankful for everyone who supported me, who remembers me as a little girl with the bottle with my grandma at all the meetings. So I hear that very often, even as a grown woman, so I appreciate that.
That is awesome. Okay, well, that's going to wrap it up for this week's show. Join us next Sunday and every Sunday at 12 noon for Empowering You, here on 90.5 WSNC and streaming on our website at WSNCRadio.org. Be informed, be inspired, and be empowered. Empowering You. Have a great week, y'all.